Hello and welcome to the Mammal Daily Diary on Wednesday, the 29th of July, 2020. Gosh, what a couple of weeks it's been, or 10 days or something, since I last podcasted. So, 2 major things have sort of happened. The first major thing is the Garmin outage that occurred. So, basically, what seems to have transpired is that a Garmin were basically attacked by a ransomware organization that managed to infiltrate the Garmin network and effectively apply some sort of code to all of their pretty much all of their systems, and then would not unlock it unless Garmin paid, I think, the reported $10 million. In ransom to this particular organization that had carried out the attack. I mean, Garmin were caught between a rock and a hard place, really. On the one hand, you obviously don't want to be paying ransoms to criminal organizations. And obviously, that would have, if they had done that, that probably would have been the quickest way to get things back up and running. But the reality is that that's also, I think, against US law or US sanctions or whatever it is. So had they been doing that, they would have been in breach of some sort of government, US government regulations for, by actually paying the ransom. So basically, they had to restore all of their systems from backups, which took them probably about, well, in fact, it's still ongoing a bit, but they've restored pretty much everything, as far as I can tell. It took about 6 days, I think, in total, five, maybe 6 days. And in that time, literally no one was able to update their Garmin Connect records or anything like that. Now, obviously, in the general scheme of things, there are far more important things in life to worry about. So, for example, Garmin also provides a lot of services to the aviation industry, and some of those services are actually legal requirements if you want to fly, for example. So there are probably a few more pressing reasons to get their services back up and running, other than just worrying about poor little Johnny's heart rate and what it was doing when he was doing a 3K run. But obviously, people do get fairly excitable about these things. But I have to say, I think on the whole, the public sentiment towards it was fairly reasonable in terms of support for Garmin, feeling for them. I can't imagine what it would have been like to be working at Garmin through that. Must have been pretty torrid for them and very worrying for them. You know, I'm a big Garmin fan, and, you know, you wouldn't wish it any, I mean, even if I wasn't, you wouldn't wish that on any organization, to be attacked like that. So kudos to them for getting things, as far as I can tell, pretty much back up and running. I mean, it took a few days, but so what? When everything did come back up, it seemed like all of the data was still there and everything else. So they've done a pretty amazing job. But it does sort of raise the question. I mean, I don't think any company is really completely immune from this kind of attack. And I mean, I'm not massively technical in this regard, but I suppose, you know, it only takes one person to bring that kind of ransomware into the organization through a web browser or something like that, I guess. And then I suppose it goes and does its thing, which is quite scary, really. So, I wonder if there will be any other high profile attacks that come to light in the coming weeks and months. But good to see Garmin back up again. There's still the old maintenance message and stuff, but to all intents and purposes, I believe it is back up and running, and they are just running through what must be a huge backlog. There was an interesting side sort of angle on this as well, in that it was fairly clear to see from Strava's data in terms of how many uploads are happening into Strava, the impact that the Garmin takeout had on Strava itself. And I think someone had sort of estimated that roughly about 50% of their the uploads that happen to Strava are done via a Garmin device. So that was kind of interesting. I think also, I mean, there were obviously various workarounds that you could take the files manually off your devices and then upload them to Strava. So I'm not even sure that's a particularly clear picture. But what is pretty evident is that Garmin accounts for a huge part of the Strava data that they're collecting. And yeah, I mean, if this had been a longer term thing, who knows what could have happened. Well, it doesn't really bear thinking about. But anyway, so yeah, Garmin's is back up and running, and that was it's been a pretty horrible incident for them, but glad to see them back up. And then the second thing that happened was the release of the new Tarmac, specialized Tarmac SL7. Kind of interesting. The initial launch was kind of leaked, in inverted commas, about 4 or 5 days ago. Where Specialized released images of the new bike, but within their ride application only, so the Specialized ride app. It was a sort of augmented reality kind of implementation. So you could sort of picture what the Tarmac SL7 would look like in your living room, for example. Yeah, bit of a sort of modern take on trying to do something different with the launch. But the bike itself launched fully on all channels, I suppose, yesterday. And it's been pretty well covered by most of the bike industry, as you'd expect. What's pretty clear is that the Tarmac and the Venge as models have been basically collided together. And the new Tarmac is very much what I would class as a Venge-inspired race bike, which is kind of interesting that Specialized have taken that approach. I think, sure, there's a number of people who, are out to race their bikes and stuff. But for me, people who are purely after speed would generally veer towards the Venge range. Whereas the Tarmac, whilst it's a sort of fast bike, is also balanced by, or has traditionally been balanced by, a sort of comfort factor as well, where you could ride 100, 150 miles and, it would do its job and you wouldn't feel like you'd been beaten the crap out of by the end of it. What seems to have happened with the new SL7 is that they've taken a huge sort of slice out of the Venge in terms of an aero handlebar, the geometry and the basic setup of the bike, and really made it kind of more about the speed more than anything else. And I do wonder whether Specialized have kind of factored into the equation about the people who have been buying Tarmacs for not necessarily just the speed benefits, but are looking for a bike for all day sort of riding and performance. And it just feels to me that new SL7 doesn't really do that. It's kind of lent too much towards the speed. It'll be interesting to see what the reviews make of it anyway. One other interesting piece I picked up today was that the new SL7 doesn't actually, or the Rovell wheels that come with it, they're a sort of new iteration of the Rovell CLX50s, which I think they're called the Rapids 50s, are actually not tubeless ready either. So therefore you can't run them with tubeless tyres. Which seems to be a sort of real buck of the trend, because I swear every time I've been into a bike shop in the last sort of 18 months, they've been trying to push me towards tubeless. I personally haven't gone tubeless because I just can't be dealing with the faff of when things go really badly wrong on the road, and much prefer to be able to just whip out a tyre, a spare inner tube, which I'm going to have to do anyway if I went to tubeless, and just bung that in the tyre instead. So yeah, I don't know whether that's a sign that the wheels may be coming off tubeless as an approach, or whether Specialized are waiting for an industry standard or whatever it is, because there do seem to be some differing standards on tubeless as well. But all in all, it should be interesting to see. I mean, the final piece about the SL7 is just the eye-watering cost of some of the models. You're well into five-figure territory with the S-Works now. Yeah, it's just It's a lot of money. I think the pro level is still the sweet spot, but that, you know, that's got a sort of, I think it's about £500 premium on last year's model. I think personally, I'm pretty pleased I've got the 2020 model. It's where I, it's what I want out of a bike. I think if I was in the market now for a bike and the Tarmac was, you know, something that I'd been looking at, I would be discounting it now, because of the SL7, new design and, the sort of way it's been focused towards that speed, and I'd probably be looking elsewhere, but still very happy with my 2020 model. But we'll see what happens. I mean, maybe there'll be a new, I don't know, maybe there'll be a new Roubaix without Future Shock or something that's going to take up the slack of the Tarmac at that, for the people who don't want, who aren't about all out speed. I don't know which way it's going to go, but we shall see. Anyway, that's about it for this little update. Other than that, I've been doing a little bit of riding both outside, had some lovely sort of rides out and down to the coast and stuff, which has been great fun, and a little bit of indoor on the Nordic track. I've just completed stage 10 of a God knows how many stage ride around the US. Obviously, I'm not doing it every day, and I'm set myself a time scale for when I'm going to get it completed, but the reality is that it's 10,000 kilometers or 10,000 miles in total, so it'll probably take me a few years anyway, but it'll be kind of fun to have to eventually come away from that and having done it. But as I said, I don't expect to, or I'm not anticipating to have it finished for at least a couple of years anyway, but I'll just knock the stages out as and when the weather doesn't feel particularly conducive to going outside. Final thing to say is that I've rather excitedly put a deposit down on a new titanium bike. I'm not going to give too much away at the moment, but it's being built by a frame maker in Brighton. That's the only clue I'm going to give you. But the lead time is something like 75 days from when I put a deposit down, so I've got a little bit of a wait for that. But that bike's going to be my kind of new all-round rider. So, and then I'll save the Tarmac for the summer months. But yeah, more about that in another podcast. Thanks a lot for listening. If you've got any questions about either the Garmin outage or the Tarmac SL7 launch, or my views on anything else of either of those two subject matters or anything else, then please, by all means, do feel free to drop me a line. You can do that by going to the link in the episode description of this podcast and leaving me a message. And then I can take your message and incorporate it into a future podcast and hopefully answer your question. Other than that, if you are getting out and about during these wonderful summer months here in the Western Hemisphere, then please do stay safe. And until the next time, thanks for listening.